Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series. We're about halfway through showing these programs, or this teaching that I did at a Gospel Truth seminar in Phoenix, Arizona. And this is a live teaching that we've been taking from those Gospel Truth seminars, talking about how to stay positive in a negative world. A very, very important teaching, and I think that it's really been ministering to people. And so I've already established the critical situation that we're in, how God has given us authority, and I'm beginning to really emphasize that the Word of God is given to us to counter this negativism of the Word of God. The Word of God is given to counter the negativism of the world. And so we're going to be emphasizing this. I think it has direct application to you. It's going to bless you. So I encourage you to stay tuned to listen to this. And at the end of our program, our announcer is going to come on and share with you about how you can get the materials. And I believe that they'll really be a blessing. So listen and then call and receive these materials today. Last night, I shared some scriptures out of Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, where it says that because iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax cold. And I believe that we are living in a time where iniquity is abounding. Certainly in my lifetime, it's the most outward and the most blatant, the most bold, brash wickedness has been in my lifetime. And because of this, the love of many people is waxing cold. We were having a board meeting with our Canadian people here. They're here, and we had a board meeting this afternoon, and I was asking some questions about the spiritual climate of Canada. And one of the things that they were saying was that people aren't satisfied. They aren't being ministered to, but they're hungry, and they know it. They know they aren't getting what they need. And you know what? I had to tell them that in the United States, basically, of course, the people that are here, you are hungry and you came and you're looking for God to do something. This isn't the nod to God crowd. Amen. Those are the ones that only go on Sunday morning. You're the ones that came and you're hungry. But as a whole, the body of Christ in the United States doesn't even know that they're missing something. They're satisfied, or they're satisfied being dissatisfied. And that's a terrible thing. And it's happened. I would have to say that the love of the majority of the body of Christ in the United States has waxed cold. When I go to other places, you know, I'm not saying this to be critical or anything, but I'm just trying to put things into their proper perspective. We go overseas, and you travel overseas, and people, it's amazing the hunger and the desire that they have for the things of God. We are seeing miracles happen. We are seeing people that will walk miles and miles and miles to come to a meeting. They'll sit in a place that's not air conditioned, and they'll go through all kinds of hardship. But in America, boy, if the pews aren't just right, we've gotten into this user-friendly type of Christianity to where it's only a 20-minute sermonette. Sermonettes make Christianettes. But you have a little 10-minute platform, and they get up and say a little inspirational thing. Most churches today has degraded to just nothing but a little positive talk, a motivational speaker. They just come and make you feel good, but they don't give you enough for you to get set free and stuff. And the sad thing is, this is what people want. They want something that's convenient. Give me something in 5 minutes so I can get back to being carnal. And sad to say, that's where the body of Christ is. And the scripture says it happens because iniquity has abounded, the love of many has waxed cold. And we don't have as much fire and people seeking after God, it seems to me like, in the people that I minister to, as what we've had in past days. And it's because iniquity abounds. And so this is what the scripture says will happen. You have to do something to keep that from happening to you. And then this morning, I started talking from, again, these verses, but I also used John chapter 14, where the Lord says, let not your heart be troubled. And this was during a crisis time, not only in their life, but probably one of the worst crisis times in the history of the world. In between the arrest and then the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus, even his followers weren't going to understand what was happening. It looked like they had lost. If there was ever a good opportunity to be depressed and discouraged, it would have been during that period of time. And yet Jesus started his instructions to them by saying, don't let your heart be troubled. Most people today would think that's unreasonable. Most people today just look at things as like I'm only human and you're trying to get me to deny how I feel. I don't deny that I am part human. I don't deny that I have feelings like everybody else, but I do deny that that's all there is to me. I am born again and there is a new part of me, and praise God, I am in denial. I am denying that I am only human and that I have to have things just like everybody else does. I have now been born again and the Spirit of God lives on the inside of me and I ought to get supernatural results. And so that's what I was talking about this morning, that the Lord would be unjust to give you a command to not let your heart be troubled if you couldn't do it. He told us to do it, so we can do it. So the very first thing you got to do is to change your expectations. Instead of just expecting to be defeated and discouraged and have problems like everybody else, you ought to go to expecting a miracle life. You ought to go to looking for God to do something. You ought to expect for things to work differently for you. Amen? And I know some of you are thinking, oh, you're getting people's hopes up. Don't get their hopes up. That's the way that the doctors are. They don't want you to get their hopes up because they're afraid of getting sued for a liability issue or something. So they'll give you the worst possible scenario. And you know what? There's a lot of people that think that's the way to approach life, is believe for the worst. And then if something better happens, it'll just be, you know, it'll be like icing on the cake. It'll be better. No, I'm telling you, you should get your hopes up. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And one reason that people aren't experiencing more victory in their life is because they're shooting at nothing and they're hitting it every time. Man, you ought to shoot for the stars, and if you miss, then you hit the moon. That's better than most people do, but if you shoot at nothing, you're going to get it every time. And there's a lot of people that are shooting at nothing and expecting nothing. I was just talking to a pastor about healing, and as we were discussing healing, he says, now, if I was to say that, people would start getting their hopes up, somebody's not going to get healed, and then they would have to deal with disappointment. And you know what? It's true. There are going to be some people that don't receive healing, and I don't know an easy way to deal with that. But you know what? I think it's good that people get their hopes up, and you will run the risk of failure. But I would rather get my hopes up, believe God, and run the risk of failure than to do nothing and never be disappointed. Man, yes, it's risky. It's risky trusting God. It's risky believing that God wants you to prosper and be above only and not beneath. But you know, I pointed this out to him also. I said, you can say what you want to. And I understand because I've had to deal with people who don't see healing come to pass, and it is hard to deal with. And I'm not uncompassionate towards people like that. And I said, you know, I was talking to Oral Roberts this last summer. We had the opportunity to go to his home, and somebody asked him this exact question. Says, Brother Roberts, what do you say to people who believe for healing and it didn't work and somebody died? And he says, there isn't anything to say to them. He says, there isn't any good way to minister to that. He says, that's one of the things that had hurt him and it had nearly stopped him. He said, I have thought about quitting ministry many times because of that very thing. But he said, the Lord just spoke to him and he says, Orville, this is what I called you to do. And if you minister the word and if only one person gets healed, then that's one more person than would have been healed. He says, you just keep preaching the word. And anyway, I was telling this pastor, he was saying people will be disappointed. They'll get their hopes up and be disappointed. And I said, you can say what you want to. And I understand the reasons that you feel the way that you feel. But I said, you can look at the people who have seen great miracles happen in their lives and through their ministries. And every one of them is radical. Every one of them doesn't worry about whether this is going to offend somebody. They tell people the truth and they get people's hopes up. And I said, there are people who are disappointed and there are people who are mad at them and thinking that you're condemning me. But I said, you look at the people who spend so much time dealing with all of the exceptions and saying, now this could happen. And they spend so much time explaining everything away, and they don't encourage faith in people, and they don't see miracles happen. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but I'm saying that you've got to go for it. God wants you to live a victorious life. He wouldn't have commanded you to be this way if it wasn't possible. And so change your expectations and go to believing God for miracles and go to believing God to move mightily in your life. Let me read some of these verses again in Joshua chapter 1 in verse 6. He said, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And right in the midst of this, we also read verse 9, which reinforces this again. Be strong and very courageous. Be not afraid. Be not dismayed. In the very midst of all of these commands, he says in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Then when? Then when you have meditated in it day and night to observe to do according to all of it. So the point that I want to make tonight, as we start talking about how you can be positive in a negative world, how you can be victorious when other people are failing, how you can operate in faith when other people are having unbelief overwhelm them. I tell you, one of the most foundational things that you just cannot get around is that you are going to have to let the Word of God dominate your life. In the midst of all of these instructions, he says, this book of the law. And at this time, there was only the five books, the first five books of the Bible written. But now we have the entire Bible. I believe that we could say it this way, that the Word of God is going to have to, you are going to have to meditate in it day and night. You know, that just about leaves no time for anything else. If you're meditating in the Word day and night, then you are going to have to be dominated and controlled by the Word of God, is what he's saying. You could say it this way, that if you want to overcome the negativeness of this world, I believe that it can only be done through having a strong relationship with Jesus. This is one of the things that I teach in our school over and over. Everything that we teach, it all comes back to relationship. I teach them on how to last in ministry. And I've got about 5 or 6 pages of notes. But you know what? I tell them, the first thing is have a strong relationship with God. And if you had a strong relationship with God, you can throw the rest of the notes away, because God will teach you what you need to know. But, you know, here's some things that you need to do. You need to associate with other people. And I talk about other things. But really, relationship with God is the number one thing that keeps you on track. When we talk about ministering healing to other people, the scripture says Jesus was moved with compassion. You can't give away what you don't have. And if you don't have the compassion of God flowing in you, you will never be able to minister healing to other people. So your relationship with God is really the number one thing that will release the supernatural power of God. And you could just go on through. In finances, the number one thing that causes prosperity to work is when you really know the Lord and you trust Him. And you trust Him so much that when He says, give me 10%, you say, sure. You trust Him. It comes on a relationship. It's like a little kid. You know, we've been watching our granddaughter play in the swimming pool. And you see kids that, you know, the parent says, jump and I'll catch you. And the kid's reaction, the first reaction is, I don't want to jump. What if you don't catch me? But that kid will trust their parent and they'll go ahead and jump because they trust the parent. You know why you take the step of faith and go ahead and give? Is because you trust that promise. And let me just turn around and say it this way, that if you aren't giving and you say, oh, well, I trust God with all of my heart, but you don't understand, we're in an economic crisis and a recession and I can't give. I need this money. You can say that however you want to, but what you're really saying is, I can't trust God. Thank you for that thunderous silence. I know some of you, you're condemned by that. I don't mean to condemn you. I mean it to open up your eyes, but that's the bottom line. You know, if I had the resources and if I said, I promise every person, If you put $10 in the offering, you come up here and I'll give you $100. If I had the resources to tell you and give you my word that I would do that, you would be absolutely stupid not to give. I don't care if you needed that $10. It would be to your advantage to punch your neighbor and say, hey, give me $10 and I'll pay you back $15 right after I get that $100 from him. It'd be to your advantage to do whatever. If you really believe that what I said was true, you would give. If you really believe that God says, when you give, it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. If you truly believe that, you would give. If you aren't giving because you say, but I'm in a financial crunch and I need it, you can say it any way you want to. But the bottom line is you do not trust the Word of God. Thank you for that one amen. Maybe if I just say this over 100 times, I could maybe get a few more amens out of it. But that's the truth. And I know some of you, no, you don't understand. No, it's the truth. If you really believed God, you would do what he said. The kid that won't jump. Because, of course, they're naturally afraid of going under the water. But the parent has said, I'll catch you. If they don't jump, you can say what you want to. But that kid does not trust their parent's word. That's just the way that it is. You can't have a relationship with God if you don't trust what he said. Some people don't connect these dots. But from my perspective, you cannot truly have a strong relationship with God without having a strong relationship with the Word of God. This is how he reveals himself to us. And this is the reason that what he's saying, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, be not dismayed. Right in the very midst of it, he says, don't forget the book of the law. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night. Day and night. I know that there's people sitting right here in this room who say, oh, I love God with all of my heart. But you don't meditate in the Word day and night, which is what he commanded us to do. And it says, then, when you've meditated in the Word day and night, then means after you've done what he said, you will make your way prosperous. I bet you that there's people here, I've met people that came from nearly every state in the United States at this meeting that came and you're wanting to receive, you're needing a miracle touch from God, you're wanting something, and you will go to great lengths to travel, to have someone pray for you. But do you spend time in the Word day and night? Some of you do, but there's a lot of people in here that are wanting this prosperity. You're wanting whatever you do to prosper, but you aren't doing what it says causes that prosperity. You know, if you've watched my television programs this week, I'm teaching on what I call a sure foundation. And one of the points that I've made that the Lord used a seed to illustrate how the Word of God works. The Word of God is like a seed in the sense that in this natural world, every living thing that exists in the world operates off of seeds. Grass, plants, trees, animals, people, everything comes from a seed. You don't have anything that's alive that didn't have a seed. And likewise, every good thing that God does in his kingdom comes from a seed. And Mark chapter 4, I believe it's verse 14, says the sower sows the word. He's talking about that the word is a seed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says you are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God that lives and abides forever. The word of God is a seed. You would think a person crazy who just prayed over ground and prayed that they'd have tomatoes but never sowed a seed for it. It doesn't matter if you water it, if you fertilize it. If you didn't plant tomatoes, you won't get tomatoes unless you go to the store and buy those tomatoes from somebody else who planted a seed. All tomatoes that exist came from a seed. All people that exist came from a seed. And in the spiritual realm, every healing, every miracle, everything that God does comes from a seed, the Word of God. The Word of God is an incorruptible seed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, that word that is used for seed is the Greek word spora, which is where we get a spore from, a seed that makes a plant. And that word spora comes from the word sperma, where we get the word sperm from. It's talking about that in the same way that you can't have children, the stork doesn't bring children. I'm not going to explain this. If you have a problem, ask somebody next to you. But the stork doesn't bring children, you got to plant a seed. And if a woman was saying, I've actually had women come forward before and say, would you please pray for me that I'll get pregnant? And I remember one time I was just getting ready to lay hands on this woman. And I said, are you married? And she said, no. And I said, I'm not praying for you, praise God. I said, either you're going to have to commit sin to get pregnant, or you aren't going to have a virgin birth. There was only one of those, and you aren't going to be the second one. But you don't get pregnant by prayer. I've prayed with thousands of people who have had children and conceived, and I've got hundreds and hundreds of little kids named Andrew all over the world because I've prayed with them. I remember in Northern Ireland, I prayed with one woman and I gave her a prophecy. I said, the next time I see you, you're going to be pregnant. And I came back the next year and she had done a pregnancy test every month and she hadn't gotten pregnant. And on the way to the meeting that night, she says, we are stopping by the hospital and I'm getting a pregnancy test because he said the next time I saw him, I'd be pregnant. And she got a pregnancy test and she was pregnant that night and came and gave me the results and they named their kid after me. So I've prayed with lots of people and I've seen God do miracles and people have children. But you know what? I tell them every time after I pray for you, I said, now, look, I believe God's performed a miracle and I believe you're healed. But this isn't going to be a virgin birth. You got a part to play. Amen. I said, act on the word. Faith without works is dead. And they all willingly agree. Amen. But my point is, if you want a child, we would think a woman silly to pray and say, God, how aren't I having children? And yet you never planted a seed. Everything operates off of a seed. You aren't going to experience the miraculous power of God if you don't take a seed. And this is a book full of seeds. Every one of these things is a seed that will counter the negativism that's in this world. It'll counter the doubt and the unbelief. When you get to where you know this better than you know the news broadcast and better than you know the sports score and who's ahead in this and that and all of these kind of things, when you get to where the Word of God dominates your life, it will give you the ability to reject all of this unbelief and negativism of the world. And it'll build you up and it'll give you faith.
Join us again tomorrow as Andrew continues his teaching titled, How to Stay Positive in a Negative World. Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Stay Positive in a Negative World, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV for a gift of any amount. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The third teaching in the How to Stay Positive in a Negative World series is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give. But if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this third CD free of charge when you write or call. On today's program, Andrew mentioned his teaching titled, A Sure Foundation. This product is available in a four-part CD series for a donation of any amount when you contact us. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
The truths that I'm sharing here on television are actually teachings that I've taken from our Gospel Truth seminars. And you know, they are just a powerful way to come and sit, and in 3 days' time, you get five services, you get just saturated in this. So I'd like to encourage you to come and join us. We have a tremendous time where I minister, of course, the Word of God. We pray for people, see a lot of miracles happen. We have tremendous praise and worship by Charlie and Jill LeBlanc, as well as my wife. You come and you can get all of our materials there. It's just a great, great time, and I know that you'd be blessed. And we're going to have one close to you, so come join us across the country at one of our Gospel Truth seminars.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Woodland Park, Colorado, June 26th for the Pikes Peak Christian Artist Festival, in Colorado Springs for the Summer Family Bible Conference, June 28th through July 2nd, and in Minneapolis, Minnesota for a Gospel Truth Seminar, July 15th through the 17th. He'll also be in Durant, Oklahoma, July 28th through the 30th, and in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 12th through the 14th.
My dad was a Southern Baptist preacher, and he committed suicide when I was 5 years old. And I didn't really understand his death at the time, but I know I kind of got mad at God. Got really mad at God, actually. I decided that I was going to run from God, and I was never going to let anybody have that much control to hurt me that much ever again.
If God's expecting you to bear all things, God Himself will bear all things. If God is expecting you to love, believe at all times, then you know what? God will believe in you at all times, regardless of how many stupid things we do.
For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries today. When Andrew and Jamie were young, they went to a conference on biblical prosperity. They desperately wanted to get the teaching, but simply could not afford it. Andrew promised God that if he was ever in a position to make his teaching available, he would never deny it to someone for lack of funds.
And that's what motivated me really to give, is the fact that he gives his stuff away.
Our hearts are just tied with what Andrew's doing, what he's trying to accomplish.
The partnership is helping do what I can't do.
I know that I'm a part of something so big.
And my gifts can help reach the nations and the people. Whoever has ears to hear, they will hear.